It wasn't just the film on display last night. It was accompanied by the live music of Sonic Generator out of Georgia Tech. Tom Sherwood, one of the founding members, watched in surprise and delight as the crowds rolled in.
You should have been here. My favorite thing was about 6:30. There was one guy just right in the middle of the pavement here. It was awesome.
He wanted a good seat.
He wanted a good seat, and he got it, too.
And now there are hundreds of people.
Yeah, that's great. I'm really excited for it.
Does this put added pressure on you when you see 200-plus people here, or do you feel like, no, we're vindicated?
Well, I don't feel added pressure. Like, I know they're gonna dig it, and they're going to like the score. I'm glad they're here, because it's vindication that people will come out to see something that's of quality, a quality piece of art, and to hear quality music.
The backdrop for Metropolis was the plaza right in front of the High Museum. As tech set up and musicians practiced, I found Catherine Pond from Lawrenceville. She says her reasons for coming to see the 86-year-old German film are cultural, what she calls the beginning of the fun season.
Yeah, I just think that once spring starts, you know, every weekend from spring until fall, there are at least four things to do every weekend day in Atlanta.
Ben Tinsley of Inman Park came with his wife and a group of friends. He tells me that he's always wanted to see the film, but wasn't sure he could get through the 2.5-hour classic.
This experience, having a live symphony play the soundtrack, I thought would be really interesting and keep me enthralled. And, you know, it's outside, the weather's nice, so I thought that this was a perfect opportunity to just be with some friends and go out.
That music from last night was actually from composer Martin Matalon. He wrote it back in the 90s, and when additional footage of Metropolis was found a few years ago, he updated his score. Last night's performance was one of the first times the new footage, along with the new music, had ever been performed in the United States. By intermission, the crowd swelled to about 400 people from the plaza in front of the High back almost all the way to Peachtree Street. And it's over by the brightly colored Lichtenstein House is where I found Lynn Pond. He says that even though the film was older, he was able to follow the storyline.
Oh, no. I mean, anyone can follow the theme, and even though the dialogue is sparse, obviously for a silent film, the text is pretty sparse. The story's easy to follow, and it's interesting. I want to see what happens.
One of the things that happened at intermission was that the crowds began to stand and stir, and a few people began to slip away. A few of them told us that they had to go to work in the morning or had other commitments. And for others, it was just because of the pacing of the 1927 German expressionist science fiction film just wasn't there. For others, though, like Miriam Bruns of the German Cultural Center, the Fritz Lang film delivered.
For me, it is an enormous endeavor in filmmaking in the 1920s to see what you could do almost 100 years ago with the technology then. Just imagine what we can do in 100 years in filmmaking.
You think he would be surprised to learn that his film was being shown nearly 100 years later, well inside the next millennium?
I wouldn't be, because this is the outstanding piece of the 20th century, and it's still has a message today, and it still has the cineastic quality today that you can see, even though it's shot in 1927.
The real story about last night's screening of Metropolis is a story about appreciation for an influential film, for sure. But it also seems to be about like-minded fans who purposefully decided not to watch the movie at home on Netflix, but rather to gather together in the cool of the evening under the big black canvas of downtown Atlanta. David Baraswain, WABE.